May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
Good morning, Summerlin United Church.
Good morning.
It is such a pleasure to be back here, and it is also a pleasure to be able to introduce you to my husband. Thank you for welcoming my family today. He's okay. Like, he's just okay. But he drove me here, and that's important. Summerlin United Church, like the Athenians, I see how extremely spiritual you are in every way. For as I went and worshipped among you in March, I found the devotion which you listened to the scripture, the joy in which you sang, and the seriousness with which you took your prayers. And I would like to think that as you came and worshiped with me in March, and as you worship with my family today, you will see the same seriousness and joy and devotion with us. But what is that? Do you see it in the distance? Do you see the objects of our worship that are labeled with the inscription, "To an unknown God"? I worry sometimes that we think that we know God. I worry sometimes that we think we have God figured out. Like a good friend, we anticipate God. We think we know what God would order at a coffee shop, or what type of pants God would buy. I know that I have a mold of what God is in my heart. And the mold I have of what and who God is not made in what I learned in seminary, or what I've experienced through my marriage, or my godchildren, or what I tell my students every week. The mold of who God is in my heart is the mold that I made in childhood. Who God is in my heart, in my bones, in my bloodstream, is who I thought God was at 7. Awake in my bedroom, trying to pray before I fell asleep. And this is not just unique to God. Today is Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there. And I'm always reminded on Mother's Day that I have a mold of who my mother is. And that mold was created when I was a child. Part of growing up is then learning who your parents are, apart from you as a small child, and changing and adjusting that mold accordingly. But you can't fully wish it away, nor should you. For example, when we were in Spain last month, I got the stomach flu, and my blood pressure dropped to a point where Scott thought he might have to take me to the emergency room. And so what did he do? He called my mother. And when I heard her voice, it didn't matter that I'm an adult with a career or that I'm in another country, because I became 7 years old again. I said, "Mommy, I don't feel well." And I expected her to fix it. That's part of who my mold of my mother is for me. She fixes it when I am physically ill. And Summerlin, I am here to tell you, perhaps to no one's surprise, that my mother talked us through the stomach flu from a continent away, and we ended up not having to go to the emergency room. But our molds of God are similar. We expect God to fill up a specific place and to be a specific way. Maybe we don't expect God to talk us through the stomach foot, but we expect God to be the way we think God is. The way we thought of God at 7. Did we think that God loved us as a child? Were we afraid of God? Did we expect God to punish us as a child? Did we think that if we did everything right all of the time, we could earn God's love? It doesn't fully matter if we think differently now. With time and distance and higher education and more experienced prayer lives, part of us is 7 years old and is expecting God to meet us as who we thought he was when we were 7. And sometimes that's good. I think the God that I sometimes believed in when I was 7, I have a lot more trust in than the God I believe in now. But we are walking on the Areopagus this morning with Paul, expecting to see God in a way that we recognize. But what's the problem with molds? Let's go back to my mother's mold. Part of my mold of my mother is that I expect her to fix my physical illnesses and make it better. This is honestly less crazy than it might sound. She has a nursing education, and she has a lot of really helpful information when one of us is sick, and an acute sense of what to do. But she can't actually fix my physical illnesses. She's not God. I have this mold based on some real experience and some factual things about my mother, but it's an exaggeration, and she would be the first person to tell you that. She would also be the first person to tell you about all of the times something was physically wrong with me or my brother, and she couldn't fix it. And so we had to go to the ER, or the doctor, or a specialist. My mold is not actually the reality of the human, breathing person I know. And it's the same thing with God. The mold we have of God that we made as children, that's not actually the same thing as God. We are walking through Athens looking for a God we recognized, but it's not the full picture of God. It's not the human, breathing person of Jesus Christ. I'd like to think that our molds of God have real things about them, but they're also the projection of our hopes and our anxieties and what church felt like when we were children. We're walking through Athens looking for our molds of God. We're walking through Athens looking for our molds of God because we're religious, we're spiritual, we're devoted, we're serious, we're joyful. But what is that in the distance? Do you see it? It's an unknown God. It is a God that does not fit the mold of who we have decided in our limited human imagination God is. It is God who made the world and everything in it. A God who is Lord of heaven and earth. A God who does not live in shrines made by human hands, nor is he served by human hands. It is a God who from one ancestor made all nations to inhabit the earth. It is a God whom we are searching for. But it is a God whom we do not always know. It is a God who sends us the Holy Spirit, the Advocate, who works in ways that we never could have imagined. And thank God. Thank God that He is a God that we do not know. Thank God that we have the Holy Spirit, who acts in ways in which we never could have imagined. Because let's take a moment this morning to reflect. What if our molds of God are all that there was? Our world would be a sadder, less joyful, frankly scarier place. If God was based on the imagination and the grasp of the divine that I had at 7, our world would be a sadder, less joyful, scarier, much more blunt place if God was based on my imagination and grasp of the divine now at 28. So let us fall down and bend the knee and shout praise and joyful alleluias that our God is unknown from all of the molds that we have tried to have him fit. Let us fall down and bend the knee and shout for joy that the Holy Spirit is working through things and ways and people and events that we never could have asked for or imagined. Even when we do not feel it, even when it feels far from the truth of our lives, the Holy Spirit is always working in unknown places, like the unknown God. And so, my invitation for you this morning is twofold. First, I want you to look at the mold that you have of God. And I want you to ask yourself, is the mold that you have of God the God you want to believe in? Should you be a little less rigid in whom you think God is? Secondly, I need us this morning and every day of our lives to reach out and find the Holy Spirit and find where the Holy Spirit is doing things in our lives where we might not think it's the Holy Spirit, but it is. When things feel hopeless and like there is not a future path, we need to reach out and find the Holy Spirit in unknown places. When things are joyful and going right, praise the Lord, we need to reach out and find the Holy Spirit in unknown places. We need to walk through this world, and we need to walk through our own lives looking for God in unexpected places. We need to depend on the Advocate that God sent us to be reminded that our molds of God are not the gospel truth. For the gospel truth is this. It is that the unknown God is known to us only in love.